coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, and if you are not angry, you are not paying attention. It is Monday, the 27th day of September 2021, and the more things change, the more things stay the same, I suppose, except the accelerator has been pushed down by the globalists, by the deep state, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, one more thing I want to put to rest the phrase conspiracy theorist, conspiracy theory, because everything we're seeing happen today is actually the product of what people have been saying for a number of years and relegated to the dustbin. Oh, that's just conspiracy nonsense, conspiracy theory. Well, guess what? It's here. It's here. And the deep state, the hidden hand that controls the powers of the deep state, they don't like it. And you know what? We can smell your fear. We can smell your fear.
Stanky.
Stanky. That's right. Eric Tech, how was your weekend?
Stanky.
Stanky. I had an interesting weekend. I got a chance to work with Russ and his team again this weekend. I just want to say, you know, all of a sudden, Eric the Tech won't, like, you know, if I say, come on, let's go, and I, you know, if I'm driving, he makes me go out and start my car by myself. You know, he wears body armor with me everywhere I go. I guess it's because, you know, we must be having an effect. Contracts out on the Russ and myself. I guess that's a badge of honor. It's just the.
Lots of bubble wrap.
Oh, when you see the evidence coming from this, you're just going to. You know, and I hope I fully expect and hope you do see it, because really what we're working, and I'll just tell you this, what we're working again is a human and child trafficking case, large case. And, you know, I've said it before, Epstein level case in this area, the tri-state area, that runs from really the southern border up into this area, the Great Lakes area, out to Southeast Asia. In addition to that, there's also, as Russ would tell you, there's also a, sadly, a demonic or a satanic component to this. All right. Now, for example, some of the gangs involved, MS-13 and others, there is a satanic, worship element to some of these gangs. And especially from, you know, well, I'm not going to get into the details, but I'll just say this. It doesn't matter what we believe, you and I believe. It matters what they believe. But the threat is real. The issues are real. All right. Having said that, if it's Monday, it's Monday with John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, if you haven't done so, go to thelibertyman.com. It's going to be in the program description box. We have a lot to talk about. The link will be in the program description box, not John or his website. All right. Look on your screen. If you're not driving, if you're not, you know, unless you're a video challenge, there it is. The web presence for John Moore. And right on top there is the way to listen to his show. That's Monday through Friday, right there on RBN, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time every weekday morning. It won't disappoint. And that's a great show. So, two things. Bookmark and listen and read John Moore's website. That's thelibertyman.com, and listen to his show. All right. Because we only have so many hours a day, right? And so we can't like have 25 3-hour shows or 25 2-hour shows to listen to. His is among the top that I listen to, during the day. And, it's great. Sometimes I listen to it. It just depends on what time, but it's great. So I'm glad to have John with me. I'm going to start out real quick, as John is on with me right now. We're going to start real quick with a very important video. It's just a few minutes in length, and this was featured over the weekend at Conservative Treehouse. this was, the name of this is Neil Oliver. Now, he's got a strong accent, okay? Neil Oliver. The strongest smell of fear is coming from the government. It smells like victory. Hold the line, all right? And Neil Oliver hits the nail on the head once again. And this is highly recommended. If you haven't seen this, if you haven't heard this, please take a moment. And I, among the writers and people at CTH, we have the exact same opinion. And what you're going to hear and what you're going to see, Mr. Oliver, what he does is he takes examples of what's happening in real time, including but not limited to things that are taking place in Australia, and uses, he looks at them in the proper perspective. And Right Sundance is this. He said that what Oliver is stating is supported by the basic, by a basic truth in human nature. Control is a reaction to fear. Now, think about that sentence. Control is a reaction to fear. As a consequence, the need for control is a conscious reaction to something being feared. Now, you might think, well, that sounds trite, but it's pretty profound when you think about this. And we're seeing this happen in real time. Because here's the thing, and I've always said this, there are more of us than there are of them. And by them, I'm talking about these Nazi-esque communist, and yes, even to a lesser, was that mine? Oh my goodness. Even to a lesser extent, the satanic. And I say satanic, not to overuse that descriptive term, but what do you call this envelope of oppression that worships a deity other than the God of the Bible? They worship, whether it's Mother Earth, or they worship money, they worship status, they're full of greed, they're full of things like genocidal. Hey, genocide's okay. Especially in the context of, in the framework of the unwashed masses, the unvaxxed, for example, those who refuse to take the jab, and those who are towing the globalist line. And I'll say this, my wife's niece tested positive and had all the symptoms of the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2. And, lost taste, lost smell, but she sought not a vax. She was not vaxxed. She refused to get the vax. She's a Frontier Healthline worker. And I'm not going to get very detailed, except that she sought and received alternative therapy for it. Alternative measures to fight it. And guess what? 2 days later, all that conspiracy stuff, go ahead, take a horse paste. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, take it. It doesn't work. Guess what? She's fine. So you go ahead and take your clot shot, your poisonous jab. And you know who I'm talking to, not you folks, you other folks over there. Because now there are two sides over there. I'm talking to you. You go ahead and you take that clot shot and you suffer the consequences. Let's play Neil Oliver, and then John's going to come on, and we're going to have a great rest of the show. Let's do this. Pay attention to this one. Hang on.
Fear in the air. There's no mistaking it. It's made all the more noticeable by the fact Britain has never, not in my memory at least, been a fearful place. And for the longest time, the British have not been a fearful people. I remember unrest and discontent, of course I do. I remember righteous anger, but I don't remember the smell of fear. I see the strongest smell of fear, not just here, but elsewhere in countries of the developed West, is emanating not from the ordinary people, but from the leaders. Leaders of governments. Leaders of giant corporations. There are plenty of frightened citizens as well, masked up and isolated, driven to distraction by months, now years, of mismanagement, misinformation and propaganda, all of it combining to create a wearying, debilitating sense of constant anxiety and uncertainty. But the strongest smell of fear comes not from those at the bottom of the pile, rather from those at the top. And what are they so frightened of, these governments and leaders? I'll tell you what, they're frightened of their own people. They're frightened of us, and there are a lot of us. It wasn't until the first decade of the 19th century that the population of the world reached a billion. It took another century and a quarter after that milestone for the headcount to double to 2 billion, and then just 30 years to get to 3 billion. It's estimated that now we're adding an extra billion people every 15 years or so. There are 8 billion of us now, more people alive at once than ever before. More people means more and more pressure on all the things worth having. Not just toilet paper and diesel, but freedom and space in which to live and roam. While the many queue and squabble over loo roll and gas for the tank, because that's where the mainstream media is goading us to look, the leaders tell us our troubles are all our own fault anyway. Brexit breaking supply chains, our lifestyles making the planet too hot. All they need is more of our time, they bleat. More of our cooperation. More of our money. Just more. But as the line goes in the outlaw Josie Wales, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. As well as the leaders, the billionaire elites are fearful too. Billionaires are adding billions to their wealth, not by the decade, but with every week and month of the present crisis. I can imagine it might be frightening to have so much when so many beyond the castle walls have so little or nothing at all, not even hope. I think of a technocrat billionaire and in my mind's eye I get an image of a cat being carried through the crowds on a busy city street inside one of those plastic crates you see in airports, looking out at us through the grill with fearful, uncomprehending eyes. With great wealth comes great anxiety, apparently. As well as fearing the people, like the leaders do, I think those billionaires don't much like us either. We're like ants and wasps, spoiling what might otherwise be a lovely picnic just for them. Our small lives are petty concerns. Rent, mortgages, health and education are beneath them. More importantly, our lives are made so different by circumstances, we're becoming increasingly incomprehensible to them. There are two groups to watch, those with everything to lose and those with nothing to lose. Leaders feeling backed into a corner by the great unwashed often seek safety by demanding and then taking more and more control, for our own good, of course. From the beginning, emperors have felt safest when as many people as possible are kneeling down or lying flat on their faces so they might be walked over. It's hard for a person to defend him or herself from a kneeling position or prone, far less fight. Fearful leaders need insulation between themselves and the people and so prefer to hoard everything of value, food, resources, wealth, so they might dole out the crumbs. There's already talk of an end to money as we have known it, to be replaced by something virtual and digital you can neither see nor touch. Imagine a world where it's not you that decides how much of your money you can spend on beer or meat or a holiday, but an algorithm making that decision for you, for your own good. Fear makes the fearful lash out. Australia makes for shocking viewing right now. Black-clad enforcers dressed and armed more like stormtroopers than police and beating citizens with sticks, firing rubber bullets at them, kicking and kneeing them while they lie pinned and helpless on the ground, men throttling women. My family and I spent time in Australia. My kids went to school there and learned and sang the national anthem of those days. I clearly remember the line, "Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free." Not so much now, apparently. Is Australia the canary in the coal mine, the weather vane showing which way the wind is blowing? Your guess is as good as mine. What we have now is an unholy alliance between fearful leaders and contemptuous billionaire technocrats. Together they have the tools to take all and keep all. Never in the field of human relations has so much been taken from so many by so few. I say the best leaders are those the people barely notice, those who, without fanfare or hope of immortality, defend freedom and let people go about their business unmolested. Those that seek praise for their efforts are tolerable too, as long as they keep the lights on at the same time as preening for the cameras. The leaders, the people, and then history do not forgive are those that make themselves feared and then despised. Remember at all times that your life is your own, and your hopes and dreams weigh the same as those of any emperor or billionaire. They're frightened. You can smell it. It smells like victory. Hold the line.
All right. A couple of things just very quickly about that. You know, this was one of the most commented on audios or videos in the on that website. All right. And it's interesting, one commenter, and I'm going to bring John on and we're going to have a discussion about this. One commenter wrote very extensively and was taking the task. Now, but here's I'm paraphrasing what he wrote, and I tend to believe this. All right. Now, when I say I tend to believe this, there's some identifications that need to be clarified here. But regardless, he writes that America was already lost as of 1913. Everything else was elimination of opposition to the parasite class that owns and ruins and, well, runs, but ruins this country. Political control was accomplished by them via their front organizations, and he names them, AIPAC, J Street, and others. Honest investigation, and that's what we're about, honest investigation, let alone legitimate criticisms, was deflected and downplayed by the front organizations like the ADL and SPLC and others. And I'm going to move on. You know, there is this allegiance to the City of London. Now, don't understand this. The City of London is separate from London. The City of London is an area where the banks, the bankers, and the globalists all have residency, if you will. Even the Queen must bow curtsy at the City of London. Others in power know about this area. They know who's really in charge. And that's why John McCain and Lieberman knew, or that's why they flew to the City of London to meet with the Rothschilds, for example, in a subtle bid to curry favor to be selected as the president and vice president. Well, it didn't work out too well. President Trump, the globalists now, some say, are owned. Trump is owned by the globalists, like the Rothschilds, because of a bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy. Now, hold that thought there just for a second, okay? Just hold that thought just for a second. Harold Wallace Rosenthal said, in 1976, Americans have not had a presidential choice since 1932. Roosevelt was our man. Every president since Roosevelt has been our man. All right. Now, he obviously he was one of the select few that was one of the people in control. All right. So this commenter goes on. Anyone who still believes in independent elections and voting is nothing more than a naive person, basically naive mark. It's kabuki theater. Now, one more thing here, he writes. The audits will accomplish nothing. Saving records of the misdeeds done will accomplish nothing. Protesting like the 2019 protest in Richmond, Virginia, accomplished nothing. The real goal of any process is to show the opposition that one's side has the numbers to mount an effective violent action, if necessary, against that opposition. We come in peace now, but ignore us at your peril. And I stress that because I believe that. Only one thing will accomplish what we need to accomplish, but most folks will never, ever go there because we're far too civilized to do so. People took him to task on this and somebody, and he responded about President Trump being, you know, that selected, one of the selected, one of the controlled. He writes this in response to that. Well, you know, about people saying it, that he's a controlled, you know, opposition or controlled by the Rothschilds. And even he was selected. He writes this. You're both wrong and right about President Trump. He was nearly ruined in the early 1990s SNL crisis, a forerunner to the 2008 banking collapse. Now, you got to think about this, and you got to kind of dig very deep into that. And that commenter is correct. It was no fault of his own. He was not over-leveraged. His assets had deflated with the crisis, and he had to persuade his creditors that he alone was the best choice to turn around, and he did exactly that. And yes, he did pay homage to New York bank moguls because that was the deal. Now, let me say this, because people come on this program and say, Trump, oh, you know, Trump's bad, he's part of it, he's part of the whole thing, okay? They're entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to their own opinion. My question to everyone out there is, if President Trump was so bad, then why were the gates of hell, the media, the rhinos, the left, you know, every person on the planet trying to destroy this man? Why? The intelligence community. Why? 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 I want to know why. Was that all for show? Let me go on real quick and finish this, what this commenter did write. When JFK Jr. died in his plane crash, and yes, JFK Jr. is not alive, all right, so stop that crap. When he died in a plane crash, because he was leading in the polls against Hillary Clinton, you remember that? I remember that. That's when she was running for U.S. Senate in New York, and I remember being in Buffalo when Hillary Clinton came, and it was just a mess. But anyway, hang on a second. Okay. Getting messages here in real time. All right. When JFK Jr. died, that turned President Trump against the elite in control. But he held that pretty close to his vest. But the Obama treason of arranging Iran to get untold billions in cash and the bomb is what brought Trump publicly out into opposition, and from there followed IRS audit after audit after audit and threats of recrimination. And this fits in the timeline. Trump became hated by the elite, the controlling class, and they accused him of betrayal. They accused him of more than that, but you get the idea. And he said to his supporters, those in power do not have your best interest in mind, and he was correct. And he became the populist leader at the time. His life was at risk. He wore a bulletproof vest to rallies in 2015 and 2016. You remember that. His security would not allow him direct contact with the Secret Service as they insisted on giving the orders. Think about that, folks. Think hard about that. He defeated Clinton in 2016 because military intel operatives loyal to the Republic jammed her satellite links that were running the algorithms to put her over the top. And I believe that to be the case based on the preponderance of evidence that we've seen, but I digress. All right. After he became president-elect, his life was in danger as Comey had obtained a FISA warrant to spy on him so he could know his whereabouts at any time as he in his travel itineraries. That's our FBI. And if you don't believe that, it has been documented. And that's why I mentioned right after he was elected, he was told that, hey, you've got physical and electronic surveillance at Trump Tower. That's when he moved to Bedminster. All right. So all of that said, that's all documented and corroborated. History right now is unfolding right now to expose this globalist cabal. Currently, President Trump is the face of this rebellion. He poses a great risk because people are still following him. Have you noticed the F. Biden mantras at all the football games? F. Joe Biden. Except they're more explicit than that. We are watching history unfold. We are watching, going back to that audio or that video, we're watching those people who are calling the shots, we're watching them in fear. And you know that little Chucky, female Chucky doll? What's her name? Jen Psaki. The female Chucky doll. Remember? You know. Yeah, I gotta push my hair back. That spokes Muppet for Mr. Marbles. You can see it in her face. You can see it in her face. You can see the fear. You can also see the contempt for the American people. We're being invaded in the southern border. Oh, don't you dare use a horse. Talk to John Moore about horses, right? Don't you dare use a horse. Oh, my gosh, they're using horses against the illegals. You know what? If it was me, I'd be using bazookas. They still make those things? Rockets. That's just me. We're being invaded. 15,000, by the way. Just saying. 15. I won't use a adjective. 15,000 Haitians in the United States. How many Afghans in the United States under this Mr. Marbles Muppet regime? John Moore, libertyman.com. I'm not going to keep you waiting any longer. Let's talk about this. What the heck is going on here, brother?
Good morning, Doug. Good to be with you.
Yes. Good to be with you. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you might be, as Art Bell used to say, or whatever that, just paraphrased him. But, yeah, you know, something, John, but see, the left has pulled out all the stops. This COVID response is part of the control, you know, because of fear. And they're coming after us with both barrels. This is their end game, in my view. This is their end game, and they are afraid of people waking up, rising up, and saying enough is enough. And I'll tell you what, we need to start polishing our armaments. We need to start buying ammunition. We need to start arming up. We need to start saying no, because you know what? I'm done being nice. We should be done being nice. None of this is going to be solved in a courtroom. None of this is going to be solved at a voting booth. Unless it's paper ballots, all paper ballots, and maybe even some purple fingers. And yet, no, not that finger, Eric the Tech. All right. I'm telling you right now, there's only one way this is going to be solved. And that is if enough of us rise up, stand up, and say, you know what? We're not taking your crap anymore. You want me to mask up? Bite me. You want me to get vaxxed? Ain't going to happen. You want me to go to that movie or get vaxxed to go to that movie? I ain't going to see your movie.
Well, Doug, in my neighborhood, that's not an issue.
Hence the couple of states, yeah, difference in states. You're right.
Yeah. If I see some, if I'm at a service station or a restaurant and I see people wearing a mask, I know one of two things. Either from someplace else, not from Missouri, or they're one of the very few liberals that are in my area. So there's no mask restrictions. I think there may still be some in the schools locally, but the parents have had enough of that too. We have freedom. We have people moving to Missouri. It's the third most popular state after Florida and Texas for people to relocate and get away from the tyranny in the other 47 states. Of course, there's much less tyranny in some states than others, but the red states are getting the population increases. The blue states are losing people. But what's most important, Doug, is who are they losing? They're losing the most productive people that the states have, leaving behind the less productive people that these states have. That's critical. Now, going back to the video you started out the show with, it's clear from many points of evidence we have, Doug, that the powers that be want to achieve what's listed on the Georgia Guidestones. 9 out of 10 people, 95 out of 100 dead. That's their goal. I don't know if you follow Cliff High's work, but I've been aware and followed his work off and on for more than 20 years.
I do, and do talk.
Cliff knows my work, and I'm certainly very familiar with his, but Cliff makes a very good point, and it has to do with the complexity of our world and our society. Now, there's been any number of articles written about how people like Al Gore show up at these international conferences like the Paris Accords in their private jets, burning up lots of fuel, making lots of alleged CO2 greenhouse gases. So let's look at that for a moment. These people being the powers that be, their plan is to eliminate 95% of the population and still have high-performance jet aircraft to transport their bodies around the planet in any place they want to go. I know a little bit about aviation. Now, I've been flying for more than half a century as a co-pilot and sometimes as a pilot, a student. I have quite a few friends who are pilots. One very close friend who is a certified airframe and power plant mechanic, certified by the FAA. These aircraft are very complex machines, which is why, for example, Saddam Hussein had some MiG jet fighters. He did not have daily access, however, to the factories that manufacture the parts to keep MiG jet fighters flying. So what did he do? He buried them in the sand. If you don't have access to factories manufacturing the parts, and you won't if 95% of the people are dead, if you don't have access to the highly skilled technicians that maintain these aircraft, they're going to just be sitting on a tarmac gathering dust. That's just one tiny example. Our society, our world, our culture is full of highly complex industries that have highly trained people that require access to spare parts continuously. Everything has to work, Doug, or nothing works. That's the point. And you can't kill off 95% of the world's population and have very much of anything work at all when it comes to complex systems that we put in place. Even something as simple as that automobile sitting in your driveway. Just diagnosing it requires a computer. The technicians who work on it, these aren't good old boys who dropped out of high school anymore. It may have been that way 40 or 50 years ago where a high school dropout could work on an automobile, but those days are long gone. You have to know how to manipulate a computer diagnostic piece of equipment just to tell what a simple automobile is doing or not doing. And Cliff High makes a good point here. What the powers that be have set in motion, and I'm not sure it can be stopped at this point, what they've set in motion is a way to destroy everything, not just eliminate what they refer to as the useless eaters, the men and women who aren't producing, those who might be disabled for whatever reason. Not at all. What the plan will do is eliminate the very people who keep everything functioning that the powers that be want to have to use for their way of life, which includes modern air conditioning, heating and cooling systems for their homes, refrigeration for their homes, the ability to prepare and cook meals. All those things these days come from a highly complex systems. Unless the powers that be plan on living like Little House on the Prairie, which is what's going to happen, that's what will take place. They cannot maintain and keep running these highly complex systems in the absence of the highly skilled, highly trained people that make them work, Doug. At some point, they may figure this out and just shut down the depopulation agenda on their own. But like I said a moment ago, it may be too late.
Yeah, now, I think they're all in. To overtalk you, but here's the thing. I'm looking at this. Here's dog hair, I guess. Here's what I found. Okay, running this local investigation, or when I say local, I'm talking about this part of the country, but local to me. I'm looking at, and I'm finding information now from individuals at the periphery of this pretty sophisticated network of globalists, and that's what they are. They're actually the minions carrying out the globalist agenda. I'm finding out that they're reading from the same script. They've been given the script. They're reading from the same scripts or tactics. It's all the same. So in other words, So I'm using this from an investigative standpoint to look at the larger script, the larger activities, the globalist activities, or on a global scale. They're employing this on a local level that involves some pretty bizarre and pretty nasty stuff, even to the point of people like Russ and myself earning having the distinction of being public enemy number one to these people, and getting threats and such. So having said all of that, we must be making them afraid. When I say we, I'm talking about you now and me and others, because our names have shown up on a list of alternative hot talk show hosts. I don't know whether you know this or not. I mean, if you don't, sorry, I'm telling you on air, but there is a list by these globalists that, hey, these people need to be shut up. Well, I'm on that list. You're on that list. Quayle's on that list. Russ is on that list. Dave Hodges, Alex Jones, you know, you might as well. Yeah, he's on every list. But we're on these lists. Okay. So, but that to me, and tell me if you agree with this, that to me, if they have to resort to shutting us up, that means they're afraid of us. Why are they, you know, why be afraid of me? I'm just a little old guy, right? I'm an old guy. I'm confused. You know why they're afraid of us?
You want an answer, Doug?
Well, yeah, go ahead. I want your answer.
Okay. If you don't know Dr. Len Horowitz, I urge you to interact with Dr. Horowitz. What the powers that be are fearful of, what they're truly fearful of, is us barefoot peasants. I refer to myself as a barefoot peasant. What they're fearful of is us finding out our true power as human beings. That's what they're fearful of. And give you a couple of examples. You may have noticed the last 15, 20 years, first of all, back up a bit, the number of war veterans, Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans, as a percentage of the population, is a tiny, tiny fraction of 1%. Tiny fraction. The number of Iraq and Afghan war veterans who successfully run for public office the last 18, 20 years is much higher than their percentage in the population. My belief is that these men and women, they've gone off to war, and they found that they could do things that they never dreamed they could do. That they had abilities and gumption and skills and the will to accomplish things that most civilians would never guess they could do. And when they get out, some decide to run for office. Now, there's something Dr. Horowitz has done a lot of work on, is established 528 hertz music. He's established a whole station for that. Now, 528 hertz is the frequency of God, in case you don't know.
It's the resonance of Earth, I believe, as well, or the original. Until who's that German Nazi piece of crap that changed the hertz to whatever, the 540 or something? Michael Terrell from Whole Tones was talking about that. Go ahead.
Regardless, Dr. Horowitz is on with me every Thursday, and so Dr. Horowitz is talking. This is about 6-8 weeks ago. And while he's talking, I do a quick search on Amazon for 528 hertz CDs. They had listed about 50 528 hertz music CDs on Amazon. Only two of them were available for sale. The other 48 said, not available, not available, not available. And Doug, if you're in the business of selling CDs to your customers, you're not going to run out. And all the different vendors, and I don't know how many vendors, probably 10 or 12, maybe more vendors, are not all going to run out of product at the same time to sell to people who want this kind of music. To me, it's clearly an act of censorship on the part of Amazon, because they don't want, the powers that be don't want us connected to God. They really don't. And when they go after people like you and myself and others, like our friends Steve Quayle and Doug and Mike Adams and so forth, what they're doing is shutting off people's access to knowledge, to real knowledge and real truth, because that's going to lead people to do independent research and come to independent conclusions and maybe, just maybe, figure out the lies they've been lied to about all their lives. Just maybe. And they're fearful of that. That's what they're truly fearful of. And may lead the, maybe lead people to the conclusion that they do, in fact, have more power than they thought they did.
Okay. Because I want to keep this kind of moving and on track here. You're exactly correct in what you said. All right. I 100% correct. And here we, you and I, you especially, and others, but you, myself, this platform, we've been saying, look, you've got to fight local. You got to go to your school board. You've got to become a committee person for your party, your whatever it might be. You've got to act locally, and you got to fight. All right, Eric the Tech. It would be let's see here, Arrested Father. Do you see that link? All right, I want to show you this because. Here's this fits right into everything that we're talking about. Okay, so we say fight local, and you're a big proponent of that, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay,
right.
Now
I am.
Okay, so here is a piece of evidence that we're going to offer. John Moore, myself, are going to offer to you folks. Now this is an extended video, but we're only going to play the first few minutes of it. On InfoWars this past weekend during fourth hour, I don't know who hosted. I'm not sure. But there was a gentleman that went to a school board meeting, and the issue was taxes, school taxes, right? And everyone who owns property pays school taxes, property tax, school taxes. All right. So here's how I'm kind of outlining this. Here's how it went. This guy goes to this meeting and, intends to address the school tax issue. Well, the school board in their controlling fashion, using the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, CCP, Communist Chinese Party virus, response to that, as an excuse, they slowly and gradually whittled down the number of chairs allowed for this 375-chair venue to about 18. The rest of the people were held in this overflow place. Well, okay, they're discussing school taxes now. So, having a vested interest in this subject, this father goes to speak at this school board. But there's a twist to this. See, noticing that the venue is kind of a little bit shy of chairs, he said, "Wait a minute, I brought a whole bunch of taxpayers with me, my neighbors, my friends. They should be in here and being able to speak and to be able to confront you, the school board members themselves." That's the setup. Go ahead and play the first couple of minutes of this and watch what happened. Go ahead.
I wasn't destroying any property, assaulting anyone. And then for them to show up at my door to arrest me, and it was just me and my 8-year-old there. My wife was at an appointment with a client. And for them to, I happened to be sitting in my office, which is in the front of the house, and I saw them come walking across the front yard, and I instantly knew. I was shocked, but I instantly knew why they were there. And but for a low-level misdemeanor like that, it was pretty amazing, especially when the Williamson County Sheriff's Department right now, they have a COVID policy right now where they're only making arrests for DWIs, assaults, and felonies. So someone made an exception for this to happen on a Friday evening.
And I imagine you're trying to figure out how this was all orchestrated.
Sure. Yeah.
And and let me also provide some context. It was you and another father that you saw trying to get in.
Yeah.
Who's a pastor, and they both spent the night in jail. And so tell me, how is it going trying to figure out how this was orchestrated? If you have a case against them, mm-hmm. Tell me how that's going.
Yeah. So our criminal defense attorney is looking into that, how it happened. He's having to do some public information requests to find out who made those communications, why the exception was made, and under what pretext or what context that was made. We don't really have a whole lot of information yet, again, because he's made those requests, but we don't have that information. But yeah, both of us were brought in. So this was coordinated. We were both brought in and arrested almost at the exact same time. Immediately after I was in process, sat on the bench, and then the other gentleman, he was also, I saw him come in. So I knew that it had happened at the same time.
That's so crazy. And so the charge on the warrant says disrupting a public meeting, correct?
Yeah, it says hindering proceedings by disorderly conduct. Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And since when are people arrested 3 days after they're charged with disorderly conduct?
Okay, you get the idea. This goes on. The link will be in the program description box. But, John, here's what they're doing now. Because the school boards and the county boards and the city council and these local entities are afraid of the public, they're either not having the meetings or they're limiting the number of people allowed in the meetings, and they're running scared. The smell of fear is in the air. In this guy's case, he went there. He said, look, I got a whole bunch behind me here. We're going to bring them in. And the school board says, no, you're not. And he said, yes, we are. And it resulted in really nothing. There was nothing. He just got escorted no, you're going to leave. A couple of cops came and escorted him out. 3 days later, he was charged. And at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, roughly, a couple of sheriff's deputies came to his house when just he and his 8-year-old daughter were home, took him out of the house, put him in friggin' jail, okay, and to shut him up. This is how they're playing. So this wouldn't have happened. Okay. I contend this, John. This wouldn't have happened because they smell fear. This is an underhanded tactic by the law enforcement officers who, by the way, themselves in this case should take stock of whose side they're on. This wouldn't have happened if we had enough people rise up and say, you're not taking him anywhere. You're not taking him away. But this is 3 days afterwards. Bear in mind that would have happened on scene. Right away, he should have called out, the friends and said, hey, I'm in trouble. And we should have responded. And we should have repelled the law enforcement. Because law enforcement has got no business executing a warrant on a misdemeanor charge at 8 o'clock on a Friday night when you know you're going to be spending time in jail. But this is all the result of fear. Fear by these globalist, elitist punks that walk around here. But here's the deal. And this is what I'm going to say this and then back to you. When we fight, we better have the numbers. We better have the people with guts to stand up and say, you know what? This is my line. You want to do this? Then you better, you know what? You better call your wives, your families and say, you ain't coming home tonight because we are not going to lay down. We're not going to be submissive. We're not going to get it up the wazoo. We're not going to take your crap. We're going to fight back and we're going to fight back right friggin' now. Because you know what? I'm done talking. And I think everyone should be done talking. And we should say, no, not today, not me. It stops right now. It stops with me. And if everyone said that, you heard that first video. If everyone said that, what were they going to do? They're going to nuke us? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Doug,
you okay, John?
I don't like. Americans are very tolerant, and they'll put up with a lot. The Australians are the same way. It took a lot to push the Australians before they finally got to the streets. What it took for the Australians was a nationwide shutdown of pretty much all businesses for 2 weeks, especially manufacturing. And when they did that, the Australians finally were pushed to get in the streets. I use that as an example of what we may expect here in this country. What's it going to take? And I think that's the core of your question, Doug. You're advocating it. But the real question is, what will it take to put Americans in the streets to stop the silliness, to stop the lockdowns, to stop the mask wearing, to stop all the harmful things that have happened since January of 2020 to our country, to our economy, to our people, to our children? What's it going to take? And I think it's going to take something dramatic, just like what happened in Australia, where the Australian government shut down.
Let me add to your question. Okay, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to make Bill Gates nothing but a memory? What's it going to take to make Klaus Schwab nothing but a memory? What's it going to take to make Nancy Pelosi nothing but a memory? What's it going to take to make AOC nothing but a bad memory? Or how about Mr. Marbles, nothing but a bad memory? What's it going to take? I want to know, every one of these globalists, every one of these politicians, these spineless bastards out there, and oh, by the way, locally, we know where you live. And is that a threat? No. I'm just saying, we know where you live. So you want to do this locally? Okay. Is that really you? Think about this now. What's it going to take to make this go away so we can live in peace, unmolested, without conflict? That's what I want to know. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm not sure what it's going to take, Doug. I'm not sure anybody knows. And the powers that be probably run all kinds of focus groups trying to determine that to their own satisfaction. There's a belief, and I tend to agree with it, that what the powers that be want is violent pushback. I think that may be one of their goals, because that would give them the justification to do other things they can't do otherwise.
Well, they might be surprised.
There's lots of scenarios here, Doug. There's a number of scenarios. What's going on with the Canary Islands and La Palma Island right now is one of them. You know, we're getting reports that the Chinese have devices that could set off a landslide that would take out the east coast of the United States, parts of the coast of Europe. The time to do that is while the normal natural earthquakes are taking place, earthquakes and volcanoes. It's a relatively short window. I doubt they'll be going for more than another 60 to 90 days. They might, but I doubt it. Over the weekend, just to make you a little jealous here, I was with Sam Andrews down at Freedom Center USA in a precision rifle class. And one of the men there, who's well-connected, a very successful businessman, he says, John, I have associates that are in Canada. They're very aware of the 1 million Chinese military troops in Canada right now on this Monday in September. Why are they there? Well, they're there as an invasion force. Or they may be there to help us.
Say that again, just so people really understand the gravity of that. Go ahead and say that again.
Well, the 1 million troops in China, they're an invasion force. Yes. They may be characterized, however, as our friends from across the ocean to help us in our time of need if the East Coast gets wiped out by a tidal wave. They would be invited in as people to help us restore order, at least initially. And I understand the treaties have already been signed for them to do exactly that, to come into this country to help us if there's a major natural disaster. Most people will accept that if it means being able to go back to work, come home from work Monday, pick up a six-pack of beer and a steak, and watch Monday night football. If they think the Chinese troops on the streets will help normal return, most people will accept it, especially in the blue cities and blue states. I would expect them in New York and California, Oregon, Washington State, and so forth as invitees.
Okay, let's talk about that. Okay, so because I know Sam is big and you're big on you know, we should like locate ourselves, the Patriots should relocate to a more friendly environment, you know, a place like the Ozarks. I get that, okay, a place where you've got friendlies around. All right, now I'm behind enemy lines in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with the fascist dictator or just dick governor, Dick Wolf. All right, or no, I don't know, it doesn't matter what his first name is, Wolf. But here's the thing, all right? I ain't going anywhere. In other words, I'm not relocating based on the fact that, well, you know, I won't have to fight. Because this is my home. And you know what? There are a lot of people listening to this, John, who are saying, I can't leave. You could, okay? Look, you could. But maybe there's a physical impairment. Maybe they're alone, they're widowed, they're, you know, whatever. But see, you shouldn't have to leave. Here's my argument. You shouldn't have to leave. I don't care if it's a purple, blue, green, orange state. I don't give a damn what color it is. This is my home. This is our home. And you know what? We're protecting our home. We're protecting our turf. And you want to bring in, some cannon fodder over here? Well, we're going to fight. I don't care if it's behind enemy lines or at a place where there's, you know, there's kind of freedom-loving people, because they want to break us up into a balkanized country. Well, screw them, okay? Because there's more of us than there are of them, and let's take the fight to them as opposed to them bringing, you know, I don't know, the Kung Pao chicken over here. Okay. So go ahead.
Well, Doug, I respect your decision to remain in your home state of Pennsylvania. I certainly do respect that and honor it. Everybody's got their own breaking point. I know you know Jeff Nyquist. I've been interviewing Jeff now for about 18 years. And Jeff's goal as a young man when he was getting his education in college was to become a professional educator in a public school system. He found out during his education that in California, that was not going to be allowed unless he became a Marxist. Now, that's been 25 years ago. He hung in there with California, his home state, until he finally couldn't take it anymore. And this calendar year, he left to one of the other states, a much more red state in the, what I call the frozen northland. He's up pretty far north, still in the United States, of course. So everybody's got their breaking point where they say to themselves, I can't take it anymore. I'm out of here. Especially if they had school-aged children and they want to have children in a decent, normal public school that still teaches the values that we grew up with. You're not going to do that in these blue states. It's simply not going to happen.
Wait a second. Okay, this is a blue state and allegedly a blue county. Okay, I cannot tell you how many signs, how many flags of Trump or Make America Great Again or Back the Blue, Police Lives or Blue Lives Matter. You know, I cannot tell you how many or F Biden. I've seen those flags flying around F Biden. Okay, there are so many in this blue saturated county. We're being lied to about what's blue and what's red. I'm telling you right now, we are being lied to because the vote might say, oh, the Pennsylvania turned blue. My ass, it did. Maybe Philadelphia, maybe Pittsburgh, because I don't know. I don't know what they're breathing, smoking, drinking down there. But I'll tell you what, there are more of us who are red. Red, white, and blue than there are these red Marxists, these blue Democrats. Okay, there are more of us than there are of them. And we better wake up and realize that we have the fight left in us. And if we don't fight, where we stand right now, then screw it. You know what? We deserve our fate.
Well, I hope people will take a stand. And many of these blue states are very similar. My daughter and her family live up in a Seattle suburb, and she says, Dad, once you're away from the city, once you're away from Seattle, people still think normal. They're conservative, they vote conservative, they own guns, they work hard, they don't take public assistance, and they disparage those who do take public assistance. And I know California is much the same way. Once you're away from San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, into the countryside of California, it's pretty much the same way. It doesn't change, however, the very serious adverse effects that these politicians in these states have, probably illegally, improperly elected, by the way. That's what makes these audits, such as what's going on in Arizona, so terribly important. It's not just the presidential election, but all the other elections, state senator, state rep, United States Senator, United States Rep, mayors, school boards, and so forth. They've been winning many of those positions with the same fraud as they did the presidency. So it's very important that these states have these audits, that they be carried out in a proper manner, and that they eliminate the fraud and the criminal activity that's taking place in their states. Otherwise, we're done as a republic, Doug. There will be no more republic.
I'm 100% behind the audits. But until we get rid of those damn machines, until we get rid of the people who enabled the fraud, and I mean get rid of them, because here's the thing. You think the Attorney General of the United States, who has come out, Merrick Garland, okay, that piece of crap has said, we're going to go after the Arizona audit people, okay, on a federal level. Do you think for one minute we are going to find justice in the audit numbers? Do you think for one minute the media is going to be honest about the audits, the results? Do you think for one minute the average guy down the street who watches CNN or MS or ABC or CBS or any of the alphabet networks, including Fox. Do you think that they're gonna know the real truth behind these audits? No, this is why they're trying to shut us up. And I'll tell you one thing else, another thing, okay? Pennsylvania went red. Not blue, red. There are more of us than there are of them. Okay, you can tell us that we're blue all day friggin' long, but I'm not ceding one inch of my property. And you know what? You come, and this is the end of the line. This is the end, right here. And so the audits, yes, absolutely 100% important. But if, you know, if you shout in the middle of a forest, no one's around, what good is that gonna do? Okay? We have to go after the people who are strangling the flow of information, accurate information. We have to go after the people who are changing the language. We have to go after the people who are changing the demographics. Look at DHS. Okay, look at that bald-headed freak that runs DHS saying, "Well, you know, I don't know exactly how many Haitians came in." And Jen Psaki, you know, okay, that little Chucky doll, female Chucky doll. Look, we have to stop this. We can't even give them any quarter. We cannot allow them to just take over and say, you know, and we can't give them any respect because they don't deserve our respect. I'm pissed off. Go ahead.
I can tell, Doug. You're absolutely. Well, I got the impression what you want to do here this morning is motivate the troops to take action. Let's follow up on that a little bit. I've said this before, but this is radio. We always have new listeners. So how do you take action? That's get involved locally, at the county level, at the village and city level. We have thousands of Republican Central Committee members all around the country, and I'm on my Republican Central Committee.
How's that working out for us?
Say again?
How's that working out for us? Just asking. Seriously. Well, I want to know. How's that working out for us?
That's where the power comes from, is the local people.
Only if you exercise it.
Only if you exercise it. Many of these positions go unfilled. Now, the communists have been very good at running people for office at the local level, for school boards, for the board of aldermen, for mayors, for county commission, and so forth. They've been very good at that nationwide, and they've built up a tremendous power base as a consequence, mostly because other people either didn't know or didn't care about those positions, some of which are unpaid. My elected position is unpaid. So if you want to work to have change, you need to be part of this system, I believe. The odds of having anything useful come out of people marching down the street are pretty slim to none. It still has to be legislation passed.
Unless they're armed. State House. You know what? Unless they're armed. But go ahead. Yeah. Unless they come not in peace, but to change. Go ahead.
I understand. I'm not going to encourage people to demonstrate publicly while armed. I don't think that's necessarily the wise thing to be doing at this point. There may come a time in the future where being armed and on the streets is a wise thing to do and a smart thing to do, but not yet. It's simply not true, not yet. So it's going to be, I can hear the frustration in your voice, Doug, and it can be quite maddening watching our country go down the tubes and not having anybody of any consequence speak up to preserve it.
You know, it's not frustration, John. It's anger. It's enough is enough. You know, you like that Neil Oliver said, you know, don't pee on me and tell me it's raining outside. I'm tired of people saying, well, you know, we've been too nice. We've been too damn nice in this country. The conservatives, the Christian conservatives have played with Nerf guns and Nerf swords while the other side are playing for keeps with real swords and real guns. And I'm speaking metaphorically here, of course, or whatever. But the fact is, you know, who, and by the way, who's going to tell us? Who among us is going to say, okay, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We've had it. We've had it. We're going to take to the streets armed, and we're going to let you know that we're not going to be subservient. You're not going to bend us over. You're not going to make us pick up the soap. Okay, you're not going to do this. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, now you're going to get it. I mean, who among us out there is going to pick up the mantle and be brave enough? For example, Pennsylvania, where I look, I know we've got the numbers. who among us Pennsylvanians are going to say, look, you know, Wolf and company in that cousin it that doesn't even know what gender it is. Okay. Who's not some advisor to science advisor. I mean, talk about following the science. Anyway, I digress. But who among us is going to make that call? And at what time, at what point is enough, John? What point? So it's not frustration. It's anger. It's calling out and saying, we've got to make a change.
If you interfere with people's right to travel on the highways, that would be a flashpoint. Any attempt to confiscate firearms would obviously be a flashpoint. Any attempt to forcibly inject people with these COVID clot shots, either adults or children, would be a flashpoint. So there's a number of flashpoints, to use your terminology, and I really believe people need to be aware of that and be ready to act when the time comes. Now, being ready to act means several things. That means being in physical condition. It means being trained. That train should consist of several things. You need medics. Everybody should have first aid and CPR, ham radio. Your team should have at least one qualified, licensed ham radio operator. There's going to be a multitude of skills needed when all hell breaks loose. For example, you build a read a topographical map and use a compass to cross-country navigation. Not a highway map, but a topographical map. That's a skill that almost nobody has, Doug. Even active-duty military don't all have that skill. So
that's true.
I encourage people to get these skills. If all hell breaks loose, like you're advocating, Doug, we're going to need people with these skills, aren't we, sir?
Yeah, let me be clear. Am I advocating it? No, I'm accepting it. Because advocating would bring a knock on my door. Now, I'm not afraid of a knock on my door. I've had them before, and I expect them again. But let me be clear. What I am advocating is finding guts, your guts, folks, to say, you know what? I'm tired of going along to get along. I'm tired of this mask Nazi down there at country fair, a 17-year-old pockmarked green behind the ear kid telling me I need to wear a mask to buy a can of Red Bull, like I need that, right? Or whatever it might be. Ain't happening, all right? So I'm not advocating. I am advocating violence. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying what I'm advocating is finding our guts, finding our center and doing this in a, if I might say, in a very biblical fashion. And by that, I mean going Old Testament, if necessary, on the people who are keeping us from this. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Well, expand on what going Old Testament means. I mean, there was a lot of, it's sometimes mentioned that the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. It's the same God.
Same God.
But there was a lot of violence in the Old Testament and a lot of adversaries of the Hebrew people that were wiped out by the Hebrew armies.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked. Going Old Testament, in my view, now it's got a couple of meanings. I'm not going to get too deep into this except to say, you know, the God of the Bible is the ultimate authority. And when I say going Old Testament, I mean, let's follow the example of what happened back in the Old Testament days, and you know, we turn to God for direction. We turn to God to get us out of or get us to you know, the promised land. We turn to God when you know the spies come back and say, oh, too many, we can't possibly break through the walls. Too many. Oh no, big giants. We follow God, and we follow what is right, and we follow the righteousness, but we have to do it righteously. You're exactly right, Sean, and thanks for asking that, but that's what I'm saying. But the Old Testament, I have another meaning to that, too, and you can read between the lines. Go ahead.
Okay, sir. Well, I have a prepper tip of the day every day, and the prepper tip of the day, many of our listeners, your listeners and my listeners, they have teams that they've formed with relatives, friends, neighbors, people to go to church with, teams that would react if there was a crisis of some sort. The power grid goes down, the East Coast gets wiped out by a tidal wave, whatever it might be. The purpose of the day was to have these teams elect a commander, establish a chain of command, and break down the smaller teams for medics, communications, intelligence, light weapons, and engineers, basically a Special Forces A team, and begin work on that right now. I don't know what's coming. I know the possibilities. I don't know when it's coming. I know it could be any day. I know the time to be acquiring these skills and the equipment and supplies to go along with those skills is right now. Right now. What's going on in the Canary Islands is not a fantasy. That's a clear and present danger. Now, my friend Professor McCanny, he says the coal fields in your state in Pennsylvania, Professor McCanny says the coal fields are a consequence of one of these tidal waves from the Canary Islands in the ancient past. So this has happened before. And will it happen again? It's possible. Will the Chinese set off a device to have this happen? Possibly, because it'll help them achieve their goal of colonizing the United States, having a United States with no Americans. That's what the Chinese want. They're already colonizing Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. They're already in the works of doing that. Central and South America, they're in the works of doing that. A lot of Asia, they're in the process of doing that as well. They want Australia, by the way, and they're probably getting
them. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go back, because one thing you said, and you're very, very up on this. And, you know, Steve Quayle was talking about this, the La Palma volcano, the Canary Islands, the potential for a tsunami, essentially. And I know people are saying, well, you know, this could gradually slip in. But you know what they're not taking into account is the fact that China, for example, they've got weaponry that can amplify these various earth problems. I'll just leave it at that. You can do your own research, folks. If you don't believe me, I don't care. I just don't care. You know what? Believe what you want. But the fact is, John, you're the one. You said it. You said it. They have this weaponry that is advanced enough where they could hurry this along, shall we say, right? So
Right now would be the time to do it.
Yeah.
The Chinese are on what's called plausible deniability. While these massive earthquakes and volcanic eruptions are going on in La Palma and the Canary Islands, would be the ideal time to set off a device to make that landslide happen. And it would be, from the Chinese point of view, it would be great, because they would wipe out somewhere between 70 and 85 million Americans without losing any of their own people. So that, to them, that would be great. Our job as broadcast journalists, Doug, is to educate and inform people so they, in turn, can make their own educated, informed decisions about what to do, what not to do, about getting or not getting a clot shot. One of our students this weekend at Freedom Center, a rifle student, he's active duty military. He's already got the first clot shot. And we were advising him to not get any boosters. I don't know if he will or not, but that's what we were advising. I would say the same thing to all your listeners and my listeners as well. If you, for whatever reason, if you got the first COVID vaccination, please don't get the booster. Don't do that to yourself. You're setting yourself up for either severe injury or death, quite frankly. I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Michalowicz and her discovery that only 15% of the vaccination vials have vaccinations in them. The other 85% only have the saline solution that can cause no harm. And it's brilliant, Doug. You couldn't have everybody dropping dead immediately from these COVID vaccinations, otherwise people would stop getting them. But if only 15% get sick or die, that's a small enough number that most people will basically ignore it and go ahead and roll up their sleeves to get the clot shot, as I like to call it. This is moving forward, Doug, with great speed.
Just to amplify what you said, the FDA, all right, they've gone from drug approval rate of 38% in 2005 to 61% current day. Or 2018, I'm sorry. And according to 2017 Yale study, nearly one in three FDA approval drugs ends up in having new safety issues detected in the years following approval. September 17, 2021, the FDA approved the Pfizer biotech, BioNTech COVID shot, whatever that name is, the C, Comirnaty, whatever the thing is, as a third dose booster for people over the age of 65 and people with high risk of exposure to SARS-CoV-2 due to their profession. And according to a retrospective study by the University of Ottawa Health Institute, 1 in 1,000 mRNA injections, Pfizer and Moderna, have resulted in myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, heart attack, heart sac, within 1 month of the shot, although the symptom onset typically occurred within days. Other data suggests 1 in 317 boys aged 16 and 17 will get myocarditis from the shots after a third booster. The number may reach as high as 1 in 25. So get it if you want it. And you know what? Beg for it. Beg for it. Go ahead. And you know what? Proudly wear. I've been vaccinated. Right on your lapel. Take your kids. By all means, take your kids. If you procreate, And you're that stupid, go ahead and take your kids and give them the clot shot booster one, booster two, booster three, and booster ad infinitum. Go ahead. All right. By the way, they're saying by October we should start seeing an increase in side effects and adverse reactions.
I expect you will. There's only just a fraction more than 3 months left in the year, Doug. And I started saying in August that they've got about 90 days to get as many American sleeves rolled up as possible for these clot shots, because the effects will start accumulating. The effects will start becoming more and more obvious to the unwashed masses. And the media can cover these things up for a period of time on one hand. On the other, word of mouth is going to spread. Oh, do you know so-and-so that I worked with, that he died from the COVID shot? Do you know my cousin died from it? Oh, do you know that my neighbor died from it or had severe reactions? And they've got now, they now have tremors in their face and or whatever it might be.
But you know what? But you know, have you noticed though, John, some of these people take to the internet and saying, well, you know, yeah, side effects, but it'll go away, and that's okay. It's okay. At least I won't be, you know, dead from COVID. No, you moron. You're going to be dead by the own choices you make. All right. So, you know, they wear these side effects as if it's a badge of honor. I was looking at that sewage pit known as Democratic Underground, where these morons post, and you know, oh, I got my second booster, felt like I got hit by a bus for 2 days, had a fever, but boy, I protected. Oh yeah, and I'm gonna be wearing my two masks out, and I'm gonna be damn sure everybody I run into, I'm gonna make them wear two masks and a face shield and a biohazard suit and this and that. Well, you know what? You can't argue with this. There's no common ground here.
I can't, as the old saying goes, you can't fix stupid.
You can't fix stupid.
Israel has one of the highest rates of COVID vaccinations and booster shots. Their hospitals are filled up with people with COVID shots. Absolutely filled up.
Oh, no, that's the Delta variant. That's the MU variant. That's the FU variant.
Exactly. There is no Delta variant. You know that, Doug. But that's what they're trying to convince people of. What's going on is so counterintuitive. If the vaccinations work, why in the world would you wear a mask? Why would you be concerned about people who don't have the vaccination if the vaccination works? Well, clearly it doesn't. And they tried this scenario of convincing the American public beginning about 3 weeks ago that the hospitals were filling up with unvaccinated patients. It's exactly the opposite. It's about 85% vaccinated patients. That's who's filling up the hospitals. And so I hope people will do their own homework. Now, at my website, Doug, at thelibertyman.com, I've got literally many dozens of articles and videos both on the COVID matter, including articles and videos by Dr. Mike Yaden, a former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research. I'll stack his credentials up against Fauci's any time of the week, anytime. And Dr. Yaden is warning people, do not get the booster shot. Now, if you got the first shot and you feel okay, you were quite fortunate, because many people just flat died or have severe reactions to these clot shots. So if you did survive that first one, please don't get that second one. Just don't do it to yourself. Your luck's going to run out. If Dr. Michalowicz's numbers are correct, it's a 15% chance the first time you get the class shot, another 15% the second time, another 15% the third time. Well, the odds are going to run out against you pretty darn quick, to the point where by the time you get the fourth or fifth clot shot, you're basically running at 100% chance of getting sick. So I hope people will pay heed, Doug. I hope they will listen. I hope they will wake up and smell the Detective Choice coffee.
That's right.
And do the right thing. And absolutely do the right thing, because if they don't, they're toast. And their children are toast, and our country's done.
And you know, folks, so I've been pretty animated today, and I make no apologies for it. John, of course, is the voice of reason and the voice of temperance, and I appreciate him for that. But you know, we're on the same page on this. The tactics, same tactics, different approach to those tactics. So here's what I really want you guys to do. I want you to go to thelibertyman.com. Now, I know some of you haven't done that. I don't know why, but I know you haven't done that. But I want you to go down there, and I'll just scroll down on there. And there are so many resources. There are so many resources right now. If you're watching this at home or from the diner, God bless you guys and ladies. Look at this. So look at this. Look at these articles. Look at these resources. And you know what else? You ought to be supporting John Moore, okay? Because John has products on there that he's affiliates to some and sells others. But you better be, you know what? You want us to survive? You better support us, because if you don't, we operate off of your support. That's what we do. But the level of information that John Moore offers on this, I go to his website. You know what? I'm still not through, like, I think I'm still on my fourth COVID panel, okay? Out of, I don't know, a bunch. So, but the information is there. So you can't say, well, nobody told me. We didn't know that. And John, hold that thought for 1 second.
Okay.
All right. But I just want to say this. I've got to do an ID here. You're listening to the Hageman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network, if they still have us after today. And other affiliates as well. We appreciate you coming. Again, that's HagmanReport.com. HagmanReport.com, HAGMANN, HagmanReport.com. And also TheLibertyMan.com, TheLibertyMan.com. Both links will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, although that's rather redundant, isn't it? If you're there, you know it's Hageman Report. But TheLibertyMan.com will be in the program description box. And I want to thank the people who do support us, but I also want to thank the few corporate sponsors that we do have I've got to tell you, I don't talk about anything I don't use myself, or that I don't know that's a favorable thing for listeners and viewers. And one of the great sponsors, my friends at Lightstream. Folks, have you ever looked at your credit card statement and just been shocked by the interest rate? I'm sure you have. If you haven't, then you're not paying attention. Did you know you can actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? We talk about tactics. We talk about things that we need to do, business we need to take care of as we move along in this world of uncertainty. Well, this is one thing that you can do, and you can save your money. Hey, save enough money, you can go buy ammo. Or you can go, you know, whatever it might be. Or you can go to John's website and take advantage of his products as well. But the fact is this, you can lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. I know the niece I talked about saved, she's just like saving $600 a month in credit card debt. She rolled all in one, got a favorable interest rate, and man, she's happy as a clam. I didn't know clams could be happy, but nonetheless she is. Rates start at 5.93% APR. Percent APR with auto pay and excellent credit, plus the rate's fixed, so it's never going to go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. You can ask me. I know, because they delivered well to us. Now, here's what they worked out with us, just for our listeners. Now, apply now. to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Just the only way to do this, the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. That is LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Again, two ends on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR, including 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And as I like to say, you will thank me later. You will be glad you did. And this is one of those things where you take care of business while we can still take care of business. So take care of business, folks. Do that. Lightstream.com. The fine folks there will take care of you. Lightstream.com/Hagman. All right. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. That is TheLibertyMan.com program. Link in the program description box. He's the man. He's got the information on his website. Go there and have at it. Have at it. Educate yourself. John, I'm going to just kind of turn the rest of this over to you because, I mean, I'm going to be here. Although I felt like walking a second ago. But I'm going to turn the rest over to you. Direct us, guide us, inform us. And I'll nudge you along when I want to.
Okay, Doug. Well, thank you. It takes a lot of trust to turn over your program to your guests like you've just done with me, and I appreciate that. I began in radio as a Second Amendment guy, almost exclusively. I'm still a big Second Amendment guy. The line in the sand for many of us is the relatively unrestricted ownership of firearms and related items. The difference between free men and men who are controlled, men who are peasants, men who are subjects, is the ownership and use of firearms. Clearly it is. And world history certainly demonstrates that. So I want to emphasize that to begin with. Ultimately, all the things we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is a spiritual battle. That's ultimately what it is. To deviate away from that is a massive mistake. Now, what does that mean? That means get your spiritual house in order. Now, for myself, that means I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. For you, it may be something else. That's okay. Whatever your spiritual beliefs are, work on those. Make it a daily quest to strengthen your spiritual foundation. Now, we learned from the experience of World War II that men and women who went into POW camps, concentration camps, the men and women who went into those camps had a far more likelihood of leaving them alive if they had a strong spiritual foundation going into them. That's well known and well documented. It cannot be disputed. And what we're going into in the near future with our country, with our world, is every bit as bad, every bit as serious as the camps that existed in World War II. Every bit. To believe otherwise is foolhardy. It's absolutely foolhardy. Get down to the basics of what it takes to survive, what it takes to grow food. Food and water will become weapons. To believe otherwise is also foolish. I'm not a gardener. I don't pretend to be. I'm a security specialist. I've done a lot of things to keep people safe. And in time of a crisis, I will be doing what I do best. Growing fruits and vegetables is not what I do best. Keeping people safe is what I do best. Find out what it is, if you don't know already, what it is you do best. Maybe it is raising fruits and vegetables. Maybe it's animal husbandry. Maybe it's childcare. Maybe it's preparing food. Maybe it's being a carpenter or a mechanic, whatever it might be. And make sure you've got the tools to carry out that profession, whatever that might be. Because when all hell breaks loose, it's going to come down to men and women who have skills and tools and supplies to get this world going again.
And John, let me just add one thing. If you got nothing, pray. Pray for others who do or are on the front lines like John Moore. Okay, pray. You can do it. Go ahead.
Prayer is powerful and prayer works. And that's my life. I understand that. And my first experience using prayer to achieve a goal, I was a senior in high school, quite the athlete. I dislocated my left leg in a scrimmage about 3 weeks before the first game. At the time, this was 1965, no visit to the emergency room, no x-ray, no doctor's visit. I didn't even get any pain meds. I wasn't even provided a cane or a crutch. I just had to hop along until I was back in light duty on the football team, and I made the first game and played varsity football all 10 games. Only a few months afterwards, the indoor track season began, and a couple of months after that, I broke the existing records for the 100-yard dash, the 220-yard dash for the my high school records, which stood for 10-plus years, when only 6 months before, I couldn't even walk. Now, that's the power of prayer. When you go from being unable to walk due to a dislocated knee to breaking all the records, that's the power of prayer. And I was quite a bit older before I realized that that's what did it, that I wasn't alone, that I had the power of God in my corner helping me to make that recovery to the point where I outperformed everybody who'd ever gone to that school, which was 100 years old. So I use that as an example of the prayer of power, and many of our listeners have their own personal examples of the power of prayer. And I hope that you'll make use of that. Now, moving on, you need skills. We touched on that a little bit earlier in the show. But if you got a group of six people or 600, there's two skills that will be in the biggest demand and shortest supply. What are those two skills? First of all, first aid, CPR skills. Those will be in big demand. Secondly, will be ham radio skills. I know from my experience living through the Tet Offensive in 1968 in Vietnam that if you don't have access to good quality, immediate information, your mind's going to go to the worst-case scenario immediately. So while we're going through that the first morning of the Tet Offensive in January 1968, we got reports on the radio that the Viet Cong were inside the gates of the American Embassy in Saigon. Was that bad? Yeah, it was bad. Did it make us concerned? Yes, it made us concerned on one hand. On the other, we knew that what was going on in our area, that the attacks were being repelled, that the attacks were being stifled by overwhelming American firepower. And that gave me confidence that we'd get through this okay. The first 3 days, the Tet Offensive, it wasn't all that clear who was going to be victorious. By the fourth day, the American firepower with high-performance jet aircraft, artillery, and so forth, helicopter gunships, started turning the tide. The Tet Offensive went on for weeks, by the way, in case you don't know. So don't give up hope. Hope is good. Don't give up hope. Things may be look bad, and they may be bad, but don't give up hope. No matter what your financial resources are, the things you can do. If you don't have a proprietary source of water, start getting 2-liter soda bottles, rinse them out thoroughly, and fill them up with water. Don't use milk jugs because the milk jugs deteriorate and you have a big mess on your hands. Rice and beans are not terribly expensive. Even people that are on public assistance, they can buy an extra bag of rice, an extra bag of beans for 65 cents or a dollar every time they go to the supermarket. That's very doable for pretty much everybody. Self-defense, you don't have to have a gee whiz, Star Wars, high-tech firearm and high-performance optics. Just get what you can afford. I recall a photograph, Doug, during the L.A. riots back in the 80s. An elderly woman bought the only firearm that was available in a local gun shop. It was a 100-year-old British Enfield bolt-action rifle. This thing was almost as tall as her, weighed about 9 pounds, and there's this photograph of this woman walking down the street carrying her firearm to defend herself and her property, people she cared about. Do what you got to do to have self-defense tools, rifles, shotguns, pistols, and get training. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. He owns dozens and dozens of firearms, but I have a pretty high level of confidence he's never had any professional training. Ownership of firearms does not translate into competency with firearms. You know, Doug, I can go into an art supply store and for $500, I can walk out the door with everything needed to become Rembrandt, or Picasso. Owning art supplies does not translate into art proficiency, no more than owning firearms translates into firearms proficiency. And I know, and I'm sure, Doug, you know many men, and probably quite a few women, that own firearms and are barely proficient with them. A friend of mine, when the 1994 assault weapons and high capacity magazine ban went into effect, he's an Air Force veteran, successful in his chosen career. He didn't own any firearms. He had no inclination to. But when Congress decided to ban them, that's when he thought, well, maybe I should go buy some firearms. So he bought himself a Kalashnikov and a 1911 pistol. And for the next several years, once a year, he had me come in and show him how to break down and take the 1911 apart, because after 1 year of time's passage, he forgot. But he had the firearms, even though he had no familiarity, no competency with these firearms whatsoever. He could barely load and unload them safely. So if you're one of those people that find yourself in that position of firearms ownership and having a low level or no level at all of competency, please go to a gun range where there's qualified instructors that can safely and properly teach you to use those firearms so that you can use them in a safe manner, in a proper manner. If all 50 states have concealed carry these days, even if you have a permitless state like my state of Missouri, where I can carry concealed without a permit these days, go ahead and take the concealed carry class anyway. Why would you do that? Because you're going to learn the laws of your state. You're going to lose, most importantly, listen carefully, when you may and when you may not use deadly force. Knowing that could easily be the difference between going to jail for the rest of your life and getting a pat on the back from the chief of police because you did such a good job. This knowledge is not optional. It is not optional. Between the 50 states, they have very similar rules, laws, regulations about when you may or when you may not use deadly force. And with obviously, there's differences between the various states. There's misapplications of the laws. I recall in Florida, when there were some incidents down there, we had prosecutors making public statements about Castle Doctrine being used. Well, Castle Doctrine didn't play a role at all. I don't know why these prosecutors did that.
You know, I'm old enough to remember, like you are, John. I interrupt, but because I can't. Remember how they used to say, if you shoot somebody outside your door, drag them inside? Remember that?
Chiefs of police used to give that advice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now, you know.
I investigated that case.
Yeah.
We had a, there were two married couples and their friend. I'll make this short for brevity's sake. They knew they were going to be attacked by two armed men. The one man who was single and not married, he was a convicted felon. He armed himself with a pistol. He waited for the two criminals to show up and attack the household. They entered into the mudroom. He shot them both dead. He and the other two men carried the two bodies out into the street. Then they made a phone call to the police. We heard shots fired. Well, I didn't mention this, but all five adults have been drinking all evening. Well, the first thing the police do when they arrive is separate the five adults. It took that story about 4 or 5 minutes to fall apart completely, and the police figure out what really happened. You got a crime scene with blood trails leading from the side of the shooting to the outside.
Well, like you say, you can't fix stupid, but go ahead. Or drunk, but go ahead.
Well, so it turned out the two dead guys were such violent criminals that my client, who was locked up in jail, in a Franklin County jail, about half the police officers in Franklin County, Missouri, came by one at a time to congratulate this guy for shooting these two guys dead. If only they had just shot the two criminals dead, called the police and said, this is what happened, guys. Yeah. It wouldn't have been any problem at all. It would not have been a problem.
You know, yeah, and sometimes, sad to say, sometimes some people just need to be killed, okay, or stopped, killed. And look, I'm not, again, if they're attacking you, you know, hurting your family or intend to hurt your family, you got every right to defend yourself biblically, morally, and legally. But don't be stupid.
If you're using deadly force or the threat of deadly force, in most 50 states, I believe you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't be stupid. Don't lie. You know, I mean, and certainly
it wasn't necessary. But yeah. These people, they were all intoxicated. They thought they were doing the right thing for the right reasons, and they totally screwed up. And our client was convicted at the trial level, and he was exonerated at the appeal level because wiser heads, you know, came to the right conclusion that what happened needed to happen.
You know, and that brings me to one last point, and then I'm going to try to shut up. I don't think I'm going to make it, but, you know, a gun carried in a concealed manner is not really a weapon but a shield. If you think about that or think about it in that way, you know, I think you might be in a better mindset. It's kind of like somebody wearing a badge, getting a badge for the first time. When I remember the guy that trained me, when I got my badge back 35 years ago, he said, you know what? You keep that in your pocket for about a year. And that was the best advice I ever got because, you know, you have this sense of bravado. Right, the sense of power and authority. Y'all, I got a badge. Well, keep it in your pocket for about a year before you even think about using it. But go ahead.
Well, that's very true, Doug. Let's talk a little bit about deadly force because these questions come up all the time. I get phone calls and emails about when you may or may not use deadly force. If deadly force is being, you have to recognize what is deadly force being used against you. And I'm going to hold up my fist here for the camera, and there it is. The clenched fist of a healthy adult male is a deadly weapon. I've personally investigated a homicide where the weapon was a clenched fist striking a man one time. That's all it took to kill another human being. So John Moore knows, and I'm sure Doug Hagman knows, that if a man is about to strike me, he hasn't done it yet, but I know if he's about to strike me and he's a healthy adult male, that he's attempting to kill me. Even if he doesn't know it, I know it. And I'm prepared to give expert testimony in cases where this happens, if necessary. But I know, and the record supports my knowledge that a clenched fist, one hit from one fist, can kill another healthy adult male. So I will use deadly force against that. If a man is prepared to strike me with a clenched fist and he's a healthy adult male, I will use deadly force to defend myself against deadly force.
I've seen that happen twice.
That's a very clear example, Doug. Yeah. Very clear. Now, many people may not think of a clenched fist of a healthy adult male as being deadly force. And I use that term very specifically. If it's a 5'2" woman who weighs 100 pounds with a clenched fist, that's not deadly force. And I'm not going to use deadly force against her. It's not going to happen. Because I know she can't hurt me.
Right.
She may attempt to, but she can't. If it's a clenched fist of a 12-year-old boy, I'm not going to use deadly force because I know that boy can't hurt me. So you have to use logic here as to what is and what is not deadly force. Now, if a man is 8 or 10 feet away from me and is threatening me with a knife, that's deadly force. If he's across a parking lot 50, 60 feet away, that's not deadly force with a knife. Now, if he's attacking me, if he's running towards me with that knife in his hand, then that becomes deadly force. So you have to use prudence. You have to use logic to determine when you may or when you may not use deadly force. Now, in Missouri, we have Castle Doctrine, which says, John Moore doesn't need to retreat. I don't need to attempt to escape before using deadly force.
The furthest of all doctrines out the window, right?
Exactly. If a man's coming at me with a knife, and I've had this happen, I was on the street, guy came out with a knife. I put the car between me and him with the knife, and I went to the left. I went to the right. He went to the left. He went to the right. Finally, enough men, bystanders, came up to restrain this man until the police got there. And as long as I kept that car between me and him, I knew it was okay. That's just one example. I wasn't going to draw down on him unless he could somehow get past the car that was between us. Then I would use deadly force. So these things come up, and if you're out and about in public, especially in a densely populated urban area, it could happen any place. But if you're in a densely populated urban area or suburban area, it's a lot more likely to happen. The brother or friend of mine, he was finished his work day. He's at a public park with two of his buddies that he worked with, just talking and shooting the breeze, when they were attacked by a man with a knife. And my friend's brother was murdered by a man. He had some kind of mental disorder, didn't even know these guys, wasn't trying to rob them. He was just attacking him with a knife in a public park. And he ended up dead because he wasn't armed, unable to defend himself. So I'm a big advocate of people being able to defend themselves, Doug, that they take proper training. If you're in a state that allows you to carry concealed without a concealed carry permit, please get the training anyway. Seriously. Now, here in my area, Doug, these hillbillies in my neighborhood, they're not going to pay money if they think they don't need to. So even though I'm a concealed carry instructor at Freedom Center USA, we no longer have people signing up. Now, I've had certain individuals want me to do a class here at my home. I'm not going to do that because I no longer have NRA liability insurance. This is not going to happen. The risk is too great. One slip and it could be a financial burden the rest of my life. It's not going to happen. So please, wherever you are in these 50 states, or if you're overseas and you have a way to get a concealed carry permit, please get the training. Pay attention. Get that concealed carry permit. If you do have to use deadly force and you got a concealed carry permit, it's going to help you. It's going to show that you're a citizen who took the time and spent the money to get the training to do it right. That can only be of a help, don't you think, Doug?
You know, yes, and I'll add, especially since John Hinckley Jr., the shooter of Press Secretary James Brady and Ronald Reagan back in 1982, ish.
He was just granted
full and unconditional release by a federal judge, and that takes effect June of next year. So if for no other reason, if he becomes your neighbor, you might want to have that on your side. Yes, sir.
And was it George Bush who was having dinner with Hinckley's parents the same day or in close proximity?
Yeah,
that event
I seem to remember something like that, yeah, but there's nothing
to see ironic?
There.
Isn't yeah. that ironic?
Yeah, of course. Bannon says, I don't believe in coincidences. Bottom line is, you know, you can't make this stuff up, folks. You know, conspiracies exist and they're real and they're in your face and they're laughing at you. And John's right. You better look, while we still have a system of laws, not necessarily justice system, you better have the legalities on your side, or it would help to have your legalities on your side, or at least an airtight alibi. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. Well, let's address the topic of firearms for a bit. Now, the average woman is about the same size as my deceased wife, 5'2", 110 pounds or so, about the size of a healthy 12-year-old boy. Of course, there's women of larger stature, obviously there is, but many women are very petite and don't have very much upper body strength. Because of, you're old enough to remember, Doug, when semi-automatic pistols started becoming more and more popular, mainly due to movies and television shows, where police officers had used revolvers for more than a century before.
Yeah, I reluctantly was pushed into that semi-automatic phase, but go ahead. Yeah.
And that continues.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine, she had, on the advice of her ex-husband, she bought a 38 Stubnose. And she had that for years and years, decades. And then she was in a gun shop, and some salesman convinced her to get a semi-automatic pistol. Well, I ended up being her instructor. She did not have the upper body strength to rack the slide. And she struggled with this. She absolutely struggled. Finally, she bought a, once again, I wasn't advising her, she bought one of these 9mm pistols that have a slide that you can rack without needing as much upper body strength. And she could actually do that on one hand. On the other, semi-automatic pistols are several times more complex than revolvers. Several times. I have a demonstration I do in my concealed carry training where I take a 9mm semi-automatic, a Browning High Power, which is also the P-35. I hold that pistol behind my back and completely field strip it, break it down to all the basic components, and I put the pieces on the table in front of me. Obviously, I'm doing this without looking at it. And I tell my students, unless or until you're capable of doing that with your semi-automatic pistol, please don't attempt to defend your life with it. Don't do that. Just get yourself a revolver. And I pick up a revolver, and I demonstrate how simple it is. There's no safety. There's no magazine that can be separate from the pistol. You don't have to worry if there's a round in the chamber or not a round in the chamber. It is simple, simple, simple. And at 2 a.m., when you have to go to the bathroom and you hear the kitchen door being broken, you don't need to worry. Is there a round in the chamber or not? Is a magazine in the pistol or not? Is the safety on? Is the safety off? Is a hammer cock? None of those things apply with a revolver. You just pick it up off your nightstand and you're good to go. All you got to do is pull the trigger. So for women and many men who aren't going to take the time to learn these pistols, I advocate getting a 38 caliber revolver. If you're a very petite female, this may sound counterintuitive. A 357 revolver loaded with 38 special, because the extra weight of the 357 revolver will help absorb the recoil of that round. And I own a number of 38 caliber pistols, ranging from a 12-ounce Airweight Smith & Wesson to a heavy 357 Magnum, which 357 Magnums also shoot 38, in case you don't know, ladies and gentlemen. And you shoot full power loads in that 12-ounce pistol, you got a tiger by the tail. I mean, it is brutal. It is not fun to shoot. And I'm a pretty strong guy, and it's not even fun for me to shoot it. So even though that 12-ounce pistol may have a lot of appeal in terms of how lightweight it is, ladies, if you're 110 pounds, 5'2", don't do it to yourself. You're going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's not going to cause any damage to go to the emergency room, but it's going to hurt. Get a little bit heavier pistol.
Yeah, yeah, a heavier, heavier frame, right.
And if that 38 in the 357 is still too much, shoot wide cutters. They're meant for training. They cut a nice, clean hole in the paper. That's why they're called wide cutters. But I'll tell you, Doug, you don't want to be standing in front of one of those things when they go off. It's a big chunk of lead going faster than the speed of sound, and it'll just flat put you down. So,
yeah, I prefer not to stand in front of any flying bullets. You know, that's my preference.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Know. And that's my preference also.
Yeah.
If that combination of a 357 shooting 38s is still too much, get a 32. Yeah, it's not as powerful, but it's powerful enough. But for most women, most of the time, unless you're willing to take the time, get proper training, and spend a lot of time on the range wearing that pistol and becoming competent with it, just get a revolver. Seriously. And I'm not a big fan of...
My revolver never jammed, I got to tell you. And you know what? My wife, who's got arthritis pretty bad, she can cock the hammer. And the trigger pull's not that hard, so there you go.
Right, right, absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to firearms, you don't need the latest gee whiz Star Wars pistol that just came out with all these features on it. Now, I'm not a big fan of Glocks. I know Glocks have become the fastest selling semi-automatic pistol in the history of the country. I simply don't care for them. I don't like the triggers. And most men who shot competition don't like the triggers on Glocks either, on one hand. On the other, they're simple, they're reliable, and they do put lead downrange more or less where you point them. But I'm simply not a big fan of Glocks. Revolvers, you don't need to worry about what brand, if it's a name brand, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, it's a Colt. It's going to be okay. If it's a name brand pistol, it's going to be okay. But get the training. I know ammunition is expensive. I get that. But spend the extra money and get some practice into where you're very comfortable with that pistol. You know where it's going to shoot. You know how it's going to shoot. You know how to properly clean it. You know how to carry it concealed without any undue issues with pain or weight or anything of that nature. I've carried some pretty big and heavy pistols concealed, Doug, and you do that for a while, it gets to be old. I understand that. I've carried two pistols concealed. When I go on jobs, bodyguard assignments, I always have two pistols, one for a backup. And it gets old. Carrying around 4 to 5 pounds of steel attached to your body, yeah, it does get old, but you do what you got to do, right, Doug?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Okay, so you've dedicated this segment, and I appreciate this, to firearms. Proficiency, ownership, selection of firearms, and proficiency with the firearms, different types and stuff. And I think now's the time, folks. Now's the time. If you haven't done so already, make sure you have one. And if you don't have one, get one, but get one that feels comfortable for you that you can operate. Do the research. You know, it's to me, it's a very personal decision, to make. You somebody says, well, what should I buy? To go in and try them all.
And as far as carrying,
yeah,
there are so many options now for holsters and stuff that really relieve that pressure of carrying on your body.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
Well, Doug, also, there are gun shops that have an attached gun range where you can actually rent pistols. If you're considering buying a pistol that runs $300 to $500 or even more dollars, it's really wise to shoot it first. In these larger gun shops that have an attached indoor range or even outdoor, as far as that goes, you can pick. Women, I've noticed, they like or don't like the way a pistol feels in their hands, and that's what a lot of their decision is based on. And that's not all women, but many women, much of the time, they make a decision on how the pistol feels in their hand. And there's nothing wrong with that. But also, please, go to a place that rents these same pistol that you want to buy and try put some rounds down range. I would say at least 20 rounds, maybe 40 or 50 rounds, to see what you think about that pistol. How does it really feel in your hand? How does it feel when you're shooting it? How is the sight alignment and so forth? Before you make a $300 to $600 mistake, because once that pistol leaves the shop, it's a used pistol. Right. And, they'll take it back, but if it hasn't been fired, they may, as a matter of professional courtesy, take it back and give you full value for a trade-in. But once it's been fired one round, it's no longer a new pistol. And you're not going to get the money out of it that you put into it. So please, if you have to drive an hour to a shop that rents pistols, especially pistols that you're considering buying, then go ahead and drive that hour. Maybe even 2 hours if you got the time. The situation of owning a pistol that you don't like, that's not a good place to be. Yeah, granted, you can always sell it, but you're not going to get all your money back out of it. At least that would be a rare circumstance.
And unless, of course, well, you're going to get Model 29 Smith & Wesson, Dirty Harry 44 Magnum. Just love that gun. But anyway, John, we're out of time. It's hard to believe we're out of time. Of course, I monopolized most of it, and I apologize, but go to thelibertyman.com for all of your informational needs, and especially about the coronavirus and the response to that. I appreciate your time, John.
Thank you, Doug. It was fun as always. Look forward to next Monday.
Yeah, I do as well. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate all the information that you have out there and your shows every weekday, folks. You got to listen to John, seriously. And on Monday, he's a trooper. He does 5 hours of radio, if you can believe that, us being the other two. There it is, right there on your screen. Go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark that
Thank
website.
Thank you, Doug.
And
enjoy the day.
God bless, brother. All right, folks, that'll do it for me this evening. Y'all have a great day, great night, and a great tomorrow. And I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.